First day of padded practice at training camp, and when you have a first, you send the best, and that means the bone. He is live at One Winning Drive, and he joins us now courtesy of the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline. And Bone, first and foremost, I hope you are loaded up on sunscreen, because it's supposedly a hundy out there.
Or 92, depending on who you listen to.
It is hot, fellas. I've heard from a couple of other media members saying it's easily the hottest day of camp.
Nice.
Thankfully, I was with Cordell Woodland right when practice was about to start. We were talking about sunscreen, and thankfully a fan came by and offered me some of their sunscreen. So I did apply at least one layer and probably sweated it off immediately.
Yeah, nice.
They didn't ask about X factors?
No. Oh, yeah, that's a good question.
It's funny. I haven't used the bathroom yet. I was planning on going to the bathroom before I leave, and I would expect that question to be popped then.
Yeah. Well, speaking of the bathroom, sounds like Big Looper took a number two on his chances of having a perfect run-up to the first preseason game, no?
Yeah, guys, I don't know if I'm the jinx here. I know he hadn't missed a kick until today, but he can't say that anymore. He missed a 38-yarder, a 44-yarder, a 45-yarder. He doinked one off a crossbar at one point. He is 3-for-7 today. Hoyland was 3-for-3.
Oh, new leader in the clubhouse, maybe.
I don't know about that.
Let's
let it breathe just a little.
Pads on. Any scuffles out there?
There was one minor scuffle. A couple of big hits. Both of them, unfortunately, involved Keaton Mitchell. Bo Brave made a nice play in the flat to kind of flatten Keaton Mitchell at one point. And then there was a big pileup kind of late after Keaton Mitchell caught a swing pass. Carson Vinson and Adafe Owe got into it a little bit. I don't know if there were any punches thrown, but there was a big scrum surrounding all of the guys, but it dissipated pretty quickly.
I know these are early days, and so we're not making many macro-level conclusions, but anything that just caught your eye, Bone, anything that you've been trying to focus on in particular here, position groups, individuals, anything stand out?
Well, before we get any further, Jair Alexander and Rashad Bateman both were not on the practice field today. John Harbaugh is going to meet with the media in about 10, 15 minutes or so. The defense has definitely been a lot more aggressive. I could definitely say that. Blitzing-wise, Mike Green had some nice reps one-on-one there. Malachi Starks, he talks a lot, man, prior to every single play, which I know is a little thing, but definitely goes a long way. It's been a big day for Mark Andrews and Isaiah Likely. Andrews caught a deep post at one point and ran 80 yards just to go into the end zone. Isaiah Likely, he's been active as well. DeAndre Hopkins and Lamar Jackson seem to have a decent connection already. Cooper Rush, guys, he's gotten better.
It's going to be rough. It's going to be rough at first,
Bone. But no, it hasn't been great, but he has gotten better as the practice
has
gone
on. You pooped on my six-pack where I said he was not going to look good even in the preseason games, but he'll be all right when it matters.
That wasn't the one. That wasn't the one that
I pooped on all of them, though. You poop on all of them.
You're a liar.
Yeah.
Also, a play of the day, Marlon Humphrey, he came on a corner blitz at one point, free runner to Lamar Jackson. Lamar threw a little outlet pass to Derrick Henry up the sideline, made a really nice one-handed catch, and he would have went a long way. And Henry's actually caught more balls than I would have thought. So maybe that could be a factor this year.
The Bone is out at training camp, first day of padded practice. Curious to get in your mind a little bit. Was there anything that you were hoping to see, looking to watch today? And did any of that come to fruition as you've been watching practice today?
I definitely wanted to see Tez Walker just because he's gotten a little bit of hype from OTAs and mini camp, first couple days of practice. And he's had a nice couple of plays here. I wanted to see the rookies, obviously the kicking battle, but not a good day for a Big Looper there. But no, I mean, it's pretty much been what I would have expected, I would say.
Bone, did you accomplish anything off the field this weekend?
Oh, good question.
I don't know if accomplished is the right word, but I attempted.
Are we out of the Facebook realm and into the texting world?
Oh, that's a good question.
I can fill you guys in when I get there.
That's not good. Yeah. That doesn't sound good. That sounds
fine.
Like Looper's Day. That sounds like Big Looper's Day right there.
Did you loop it?
You could say so.
Oh, jeez.
Bone looped it. Harbs is talking soon, and I guess Rashad Bateman not going to talk. He was scheduled to speak.
I can't imagine. It was supposed to be Greg Lewis, Zay Flowers, Rashad Bateman, but I haven't even seen, I mean, maybe he's been on the field, but I haven't seen him at this point. Neither is Jair Alexander. And what's also interesting is, guys, it's coming off a day off, too. It's not one of those veteran days, you would think. But, John Harbaugh, we'll see what he provides us in a little.
Bone, how many trades did the O's make this weekend?
They did not. They did not at all.
Where did you set that over under? Like 4.5?
Book a bomb.
No, I said
1.5. Yeah.
It was Ken Wyman. It was 1.5, man, and I was with him.
Yeah.
I was with him.
Yeah.
They're taking it down to the last minute,
Bone. You two still don't realize what we're dealing with here.
Yeah, I guess not.
Well, the good news is no Orioles relief pitchers got caught up in a gambling scandal. So.
Yeah, that's true.
You just have the Batista injury. That's all.
Yeah, what the heck is going on in Cleveland, man? I haven't been able to read up on it too much because, I got to camp and then saw in our group chat that, geez, man, this is only going to continue to happen in sports.
Here's the dirty little thing. It's been happening forever.
Yeah.
It's easier to find now probably than ever. It's been happening forever. Forever.
There is a casino right down the road from the stadium in Cleveland. Maybe they like heading to the book, like Beltway Ben likes to go to the book. Yeah,
brick and mortar.
Maybe they like brick and mortar. Those are brick and mortar guys in that Cleveland clubhouse.
Yeah. Well, I guess reading about the Terry Rozier thing, there was a guy who went up to a kiosk in a casino in Biloxi, Mississippi, like 35 or 45 times in like 2 hours.
Wow.
Until they cut him off. And he made $14,000 in bets on like the under on Rozier.
All Rozier bets?
That's kind of a tell.
Yeah.
That's kind of a tell.
Yeah. So there's that.
Bone.
Go sweat it off, Bone.
Yeah. Enjoy the heat. We'll check in with you a little later.
Yes, sir. Hope to be back by that time, 4:30.
About saunas and fireplaces.
Yeah.
Dude, this is a sauna. It's disgusting what's going on in my pants right now.
Oh, wow.
Jeez.
Yeah.
A little TMI, but that is on brand. Box. Yeah.
There's a cream for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a cream. Yeah. I might need it.
Nah. get some sunscreen, buddy.
All right. See you guys.
There he is. But Bone, he never disappoints, I'll tell you that.
Well,
he always disappoints. Not surprising. By the way, officially, just for the people, if you care about these things, Looper 4-for-7, not 3-for-7.
I go with a book of Bone on this.
Yeah.
If Bone says 3-of-7, it's 3-of-7.
Multiple.
Because he's saying there's three misses.
Yeah, three misses.
Maybe the doink. Maybe it is.
He counted.
Did the doink go through or did the doink not go through?
According to.
Maybe it was like an optical illusion.
According to Brian Wacker. Loop 4-for-7, hit the upright from 43, good from 44, 33, 33, missed from 38 and 45, good from 47.
Well, like I was just saying, it's great that they got off to a fast start. I hope they push each other, but this was not going to be a situation that did not come without some serious sort of hurdles and foibles along the way. It's not going to be linear and all up, up, up. This is uncharted territory for this franchise.
Uncharted
territory for the last 15 years.
Yeah. The reality was Looper wasn't going to make every kick he ever attempted.
He was not.
There was going to be some adversity.
And on the flip side, Bone will eventually deliver. Eventually.
Yeah. Coming up next, we stick with football. By the way, Bridget Condon from NFL Network is going to join us at 3:30 talking Ravens. She was at Ravens camp on Saturday. Jim Duquette talking trade deadline, Orioles, and elsewhere at 4. But Northern Exposure. And let's check in on the Cleveland Browns. We'll hear from Kevin Stefanski. They now have the only draft pick that is unsigned, which Shamar Stewart finally in camp with the Bengals. We'll hear from Stefanski. We'll hear from Andrew Berry next here on The Fan.
Don't have much to add. These are things that we take very, very, very seriously. We're gathering information. I know you guys will talk to Andrew tomorrow, but I don't have much to add on that situation. But
So that is Kevin Stefanski, head coach of the Cleveland Browns. And in light of the fact that Shamar Stewart has signed, the Quinshon Judkins is the only unsigned draft pick left. And that is obviously because of off-the-field stuff that's going on, as he has a domestic issue. And Kevin Stefanski doesn't know what to say other than he ain't here.
Yeah. It feels like controversy and drama is always in Cleveland, in part because the owner is a buffoon, and he courts it at times. And then obviously this situation, I don't think they even want to speak about this young man, let alone sign him to a contract right now, given the horrific allegations against him. But this is an offense that is in some degree of disarray. Pickett's got a hamstring injury already.
Yep.
They seem to be wanting to keep Flacco on ice, which I get. You know, Sanders, they're all, you know, worried about his speeding tickets. They don't have a running back really on the roster right now that you can count on. The offensive line has spiraled due to age and injury the last few years. Like, man, you know.
Life comes at you fast.
I don't know that there's a whole lot of there, you know? Like, is Flacco going to be throwing 60-yard bombs to Amari Cooper like he was a few years ago? I don't think so.
So let's hear from Andrew Berry, the GM, and he talks about how big a blow the Judkins situation is to their offense.
I'd say this. We'll deal with that day to day, you know, and we'll see where we shake out in that position room. I think we're excited for a number of individuals who are in that room. And we kind of really want to see how things play out, certainly in the short term, before, you know, making any, you know, quick judgments or assessments.
I guess they're excited about Dylan Sampson, also a rookie, but Pierre Strong didn't really impress a year ago, and Jerome Ford's hurt, so he hadn't been on the field, and obviously Nick Chubb's in Houston, so this guy, Quinshon Judkins, they drafted him to be the guy.
Well, they thought he was going to be it. Yeah.
So this is a, despite what Andrew Berry is saying with his mouth, this is a huge blow to them.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, it begs questions about what kind of research and inquiries did they make? How well did they get to understand what makes him tick? I would also say that, you know, we knew plenty about Deshaun Watson, and it didn't stop them from giving him $270 million fully guaranteed. Their owner, you know, and their... They made a mockery of the discovery process about actually trying to figure out. They didn't want to know what Deshaun Watson really was all about. They just thought he could be their savior. So they just kept throwing money at him until he decided to go there instead of stay in Atlanta, which is where he was spending a lot of time anyway.
Well, you were reporting about it in real time, because remember, as we look back on that situation, he had told the Browns they were out.
Oh, yeah.
And then they just, as you said, yeah, and they just kept throwing money at him until it was a fully guaranteed deal. And he said, oh, okay, I can't turn that down.
Yeah, they didn't do that because they were getting more and more comfortable with him because he, you know, they had multiple psychiatric evaluators speak. No. No, just the owner decided he wanted him, and it was their job to get him. So I do think, you have to look at this whole franchise right now and kind of say, boy, are they ever really going to be able to get out of their own way? I think Stefanski's a really good coach and a smart football guy.
Coach of the year twice,
and I
right?
I think Andrew Berry, you know, knows how to put a decent roster together, but they've got some real failures of leadership and character at the ownership level, and boy, it keeps rearing its ugly head.
So let's talk about the quarterback position, and they drafted two quarterbacks, Dylan Gabriel and fifth-round pick Shedeur Sanders, who has had some speeding tickets, and Andrew Berry talks about that.
Not smart. Just not smart, and it's something that we've addressed with him. You know, he understands the implications. He understands the consequences. And I think the thing is, like, it's not just about yourself. Right, it's not just about having a joyride. It's not just about, you know, driving a car really fast, but it's about the fact that you can endanger other people. It's about the fact that if a deer or someone, you know, cuts out in front of you, like your reaction time, it's just dangerous. And it's not something that we want our guys to be doing. It's not something that they should be doing. And the number one reason is because we don't want some type of catastrophic accident. Like, right, we saw that, you know, 2 years ago when, what was it, Dallas or Houston with a player. And in that incident, everybody was lucky to walk away. And we don't want that occurring in, you know, with anyone in our organization.
Yeah, this one smells a lot, and I don't know Shador Sanders at all, but we know who his dad is, and we know he, like, they retired his jersey for, like, playing, what, two okay seasons at Colorado. Seems like an entitled kid with a really nice car, and he's young and probably thinks he's immortal and doing dumb stuff, and he got caught doing dumb stuff. Now, thankfully, as Andrew Berry said, he didn't hurt himself or others.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many other kids, you know, doing other stuff, but he's got to understand that doing worse things, and I'm not condoning extreme speeding by any stretch of the imagination. But he's got a spotlight on him, man, that they've embraced. Like, when your family leans into living your life like a reality TV show and bringing the cameras in everywhere and using social media as an extension of your coaching staff and of your brand at Colorado. And then you have the precipitous drop in the draft like he did, followed by some of this. And when they're chronicling every throw that's made in a 7-on-7 against the third string defense at a mini camp, you know what I mean? Like, it's covering a regular season game. Then yeah, you really have to be smart and diligent about how you conduct yourself. And if I'm a Browns fan right now, I'm just kind of like wondering if I'm, you know, are we cursed? Like, are we ever getting out of this malaise? Like, are we ever going to be a normal NFL franchise?
Yes.
Like, they just are never, they're never a normal NFL franchise.
So they've got five quarterbacks on the roster, because you have to count Watson, even though he's not there. Kenny Pickett's now got a hamstring injury, mm-hmm. So it looks like it's going to be Flacco's job week one.
But, oh, it's Flacco's job.
Are we thinking bye week it goes to Shador?
If they don't have a run game and they don't have an offensive line, how long is Joe Flacco lasting there? And Flacco, right at this stage, really at any stage, but I mean, he's going to push the ball downfield. He's got the big arm. Like, we know he's back there for a reason. Mm-hmm. He took him to the playoffs, just launching stuff everywhere. But like, how viable is that? How durable is that? Like, I don't know, man. Do they recalibrate the offense? Like, if you're recalibrating the offense and you're scaling it down, then whether it's because Flacco gets hurt or whether it's because you need that mobility outside the pocket to help you with the horizontal passing game or whatever, I don't think it lasts that long. I mean, what did they need him for last time? Six games plus a playoff game? I'm not sure they get seven games out of him this time.
If he gets hurt early, and I'm not rooting for him to get hurt by any stretch, but if he gets hurt early, do they go to Gabriel because, like, they don't want to go to Shador early? I'm just assuming there's a world where Pickett's not there.
Well, I've been talking about them trading Pickett since they drafted the two quarterbacks because, like, if Pickett gets hurt, you can't trade him. And Pickett's hurt. And I don't know. I mean, hamstrings can be tricky.
Yeah.
So, like, I would have traded Pickett already.
Now you're kind of stuck.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like Pickett's been there a long time.
No.
So he needs the reps in preparation, too. It's not like he's at a stage of his career where he's Flacco, and he's been in every offense, and he knows all the terminology, and he's seen it all and done it all, and he could just come in out of the cold. Like, to think that this guy misses 4 weeks, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, whatever, and then practices two or three times with the team and then becomes their starter because Flacco's hurt in week four, I don't know that that's going to work.
Coming up next, we get back to the Ravens. They're on the field. We heard from Bone earlier as they just finished up their first day of padded practice. Well, Saturday, I was out there, and so was NFL Network. I know Baldy's back out there today, but Bridget Condon from NFL Network was there Saturday. She joins us next here on The Fan. Jason, I was out at camp on Saturday. Our friend Brian Baldinger, Baldy, was out there. He told me to tell you hello today. Baldy back out of camp with Steve Weisch. But on Saturday, he was out there with Bridget Condon from NFL Network, who joins us now courtesy of the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline. And Bridget, thank you as always for your time. We appreciate it. Was this your first time back in the field since having a baby?
It sure was. Thanks so much for having me, guys. It was great to see you, and always love being reconnected. Yeah, this is my first trip, not only like to a practice, but also away from my baby. So it was kind of crazy, but it's like riding a bike. It felt great being back out there.
So I know it's always a little you know, dubious this time of year because teams are just getting started. You know, the way the CBA works, they can't do a whole lot of heavy lifting early in the process. But anything sort of catch your eye about the 2025 very, very early Baltimore Ravens?
Oh, a lot of things did. You know, I know you guys have been out at practice. Just the energy that Jaire Alexander is bringing to mm-hmm. the field and also the fans. Like, he is such a, like, when he's in the room, you know he's there. And I've covered him with the Packers a lot. And just having someone like that, it's almost like the Ravens needed that. And I know when you have players like that, it can be really, really high and really, really low if things don't go his way. But right now, this is what they needed. And I know some of the defenders even said that, like, maybe it's the swag that was missing. And so adding him has definitely boosted this team. And I also think their rookie, the safety who they got in the first round, Malachi Starks mm-hmm. from Georgia, he has been lights out at camp. And a lot of the vets have talked about it too. So just having those pieces on defense, because I know the defense has lost some people through the offseason and injuries and such. And so having two pieces like that, I think, makes me excited for this Baltimore Ravens team in 2025.
I'm talking with Bridget Condon, Inside Access here on the Fan. I know Harbs doesn't like to hear Super Bowl or bust, but Jason and I were talking about earlier, like being out of camp on Saturday, and it's great to see these guys out there, but it almost had kind of, for me at least, and it felt like a boring vibe. Like, this is a business as usual kind of thing. Like, God forbid there's no injuries, but they don't have a lot of job openings. Like, they know who they are. Is it just about, like, hopefully everybody stays healthy and you fast forward to January and then you got to win when it matters?
Absolutely. The health is the biggest thing, right? When you look at this roster on paper, and I've said this, I think, the past three seasons, if I had to pick a team right now to go to the Super Bowl, Baltimore Ravens are there. But even, you know, players have said this week that it doesn't matter what you do on paper, it matters what you do in January. And the one thing that I keep saying when people, you know, someone asked me the other day, is John Harbaugh's seat hot? And I think that's crazy. I know. I'm like, no, absolutely not. In my opinion, yeah. Who knows? The NFL is crazy. But I know that people are saying Super Bowl or bust, it has to be this year. But let's just take a moment to pause, because Lamar Jackson is only 28 years old. And I know in football terms, that's like when running backs retire, but he's a quarterback and there is time. Like, I was watching the interview he did with Steve Wyche and Brian Baldinger, and, you know, he's like, I'm just getting started. The sky's the limit. And let me remind you that Peyton Manning won his first Super Bowl a month before turning 31. John Elway was 37. So, yes, it feels like this is business, Super Bowl or bust, but still, I still believe, even if they don't get there this year, he will win a Super Bowl with the Baltimore Ravens in his career.
So do you think the Baltimore Ravens have the best roster in football?
I think there are pieces on defense that maybe the Eagles,
mm-hmm.
when I look at, are a little bit up there. But
better defensive line,
like,
that's for sure.
Yeah, yeah. I'm trying to think. Like, the Chiefs, I don't think so. I'm trying to think of the players. The Bills, like, I still think Josh Allen is like carrying that offense on his back. Mm-hmm. I understand they got pieces. And then you look at the Bengals, they have issues on defense as well. And offense. I mean, they have the trio of Jamar, T, and Joe. But yeah, when you look at Derek, you look at Zay Flowers, who's healthy, you look at, you know, they just got DeAndre Hopkins. And I know that maybe people say he's not in his prime anymore, but just having that threat as well. And then you have Derek Henry, who just set all these records in year one. Like, what is he going to do in year two? And I understand that people will say, well, he's 31 years old, but nobody takes care of their body the way Derrick mm-hmm. Henry does. So, like, let's call him like 24. He's not 31. And then you look at the defense, and remember, Zach Ward was the first year D coordinator. Like, it's going to be better this year. I truly believe it. Yes, there are some missing pieces, but I'm really excited when you look top to bottom at this roster and what the potential is.
Bridget, Lamar Jackson, we feel, should have won his third MVP a year ago. He had the fourth best passer rating of all time. And I'm old enough to remember when people say he couldn't throw, but he did not. He was first team all pro quarterback, but somehow not MVP. Alas, what does he do for an encore? As you said, he's 28, just getting started. Where does he get better?
That's a great question. Have some of his players stay healthier. You know, I don't know what more he can do. And it's funny, Baldy just asked him that, like, you set career highs, passing yards, passing touchdowns, offensive touchdowns. Can you have better numbers? And he was like, yeah, you can. Like, I think he just continues to elevate. I know that 2 years ago, people were questioning, can Lamar throw the ball? He can only, you know, run the ball. And can he throw the ball down the field well? And he proved everybody wrong with Todd Monken. So I think just as their relationship continues to evolve, we're going to see a better Lamar. And as Zay Flowers stays healthy, as Isaiah Likely comes into his own, as DeAndre Hopkins is back out there, and if Derrick Henry is doing his thing, Lamar's going to, you know, hopefully have a lot of open receivers because everybody's going to be trying to tackle Derrick. So I do believe that you can get better. You for sure can. I don't know, like, what that means on paper and how many records he's going to break, but I believe it'll be another record-breaking season for him.
How do you stack the division, Bridget?
Oh God, don't ask me that. Come on. You know, I cover the Bengals a lot. Oh God. Okay. Well, I know. Let's go bottom to top.
Okay.
Cleveland's at the bottom.
Yeah, that's easy.
You know, they have four quarterbacks and they have none. Mm-hmm. No quarterbacks. I don't even have to explain it. This is what's so challenging. What are we going to see from Pittsburgh? Like, is Aaron Rodgers going to be MVP Aaron Rodgers or is he going to be Jets Aaron Rodgers? Like, I don't want to say one thing or the other because I have no idea. Yeah. And Mike Tomlin, when you think that there's nobody on the roster, like, somehow they still have a winning record. Yep. Like, I can't count the Steelers out. And then, you know, Joe Burrow, this is the first offseason where he's not coming off of an injury. You know, last year he had the wrist, and I think every other year it was either COVID or whatever he was dealing with. So to have him back with T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase, who knows? But there are question marks, you know, as I mentioned, their defense. After Lou Anarumo's gone, like, what's it going to look like? And then you look at the Ravens, and I think on paper in the AFC North, the Ravens are atop. But you know how these games go. Like, it's a dogfight in the AFC North. Like, these are physical, hard-nosed, tough football games. And even if one team is better, it's like crazy things happen in these rivalry games.
We're talking with Bridget Condon. It's Inside Access here on The Fan. Obviously, the Ravens are dealing with life without Justin Tucker for the first time since 2012. We won't get into the reasons as to why there's no Justin Tucker, but Tyler Loop of it all, he missed his first kicks today in camp. These aren't kicks that count. How concerned are you about the kicking game maybe being the reason this season doesn't end the way they want it to?
Wow. You know, I'm not concerned. I think that these two players are rookies. They're young. Remember Justin Tucker in his rookie season, correct me if I'm wrong, the Ravens won the Super Bowl,
they did,
right?
They did.
So it's just, I think if you had to circle something, and it's July, we're making up storylines here, right? Like, if you had to circle something, kicker's the reason, because it's the first time that they've had a competition at kicker in more than a decade. I think it's weird for Ravens fans to not feel confident at the kicker position because you haven't had to think about it. But everything I've heard from being out there, like, these two guys are good, and we'll see what happens. I think during preseason games, you'll have a better idea of it, because as much as these kicks matter in practice, it's not until, like, the pressure is out there, right? And, like, you're in front of an NFL stadium fans and you have the pressure of being that guy. But I'm not concerned in July right now. Like, maybe in November, if they've lost three games, like, call me back and I'll be like, oh, I was eating my words. But I also think it's kind of cool that they have those GoPros on their helmets. I don't know if you guys talked about that, but it's like helping the coaching staff evaluate the way that they're kicking for more precision. So that's kind of cool too. And I think that they have such a great first-class organization at the Ravens, and they're going to do everything they can to make sure these guys are as ready as they can be week one.
Bridget Condon, thank you as always for your time. Congrats
thank
on being
you.
Back. Congrats on your expanding family, and we look forward to talking to you again.
You guys are the best. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Bridget Condon from NFL Network. NFL Network out at Ravens camp again today. Baldy's spending the weekend in Baltimore.
What's better than that?
weekend with Baldy.
Doesn't get any better than that.
No, it does
Baldy
not.
Baldy in Baltimore?
Yeah, that's a combo that needs to be explored. Jim Duquette's going to talk MLB.
Hopefully Baldy can rub off on the bone.
Yeah, yes, and yes.
Doubt it.
No, I'm not confident in that. Jim Duquette's going to talk trade deadline at 4 o'clock. Jacob Calvin-Meyer covers the O's at 5. We'll talk more with him about that as well. But coming up next, Tom Monken spoke on Saturday. A little monkey business next here on The Fan.
Some of that's true, and some of that is a part of having the same players, the same skill sets. You know, how do we get the players that we have to stay at an elite level at the areas they're elite at, if that makes sense? That's probably a crazy way of saying it. And then improve in the other areas where they can, you know, whether it's pass protection or their ball skills or they're blocking on the perimeter, all those things. But it certainly helps when everybody's back. You can kind of build off what we already know, what they are, and just try to get a little bit better in certain areas.
Todd Monken, another year of monkey business, Jason. Always exciting.
Love it. And love monkey business.
And he talks about, like, basically focusing on different aspects of this offense heading into year three.
They've accomplished great things. Nobody is satisfied. It's going to be hard for them to beat some of the numerical markers that they achieved last year. But as we've talked about all along offseason, there are other hallmarks and other statistical ways in which they could continue to evolve. And honestly, having heard him talk yesterday and watching those clips, the thing that interests me was, frankly, the way he talked about curbing pre-snap penalties.
Well,
they best do that. You know, we've had some weird quirks pre-snap, some bad snaps, things like that, some procedural penalties that have been their own worst enemy.
Well, let's get to that. Cut 23, Beltway Ben. Todd Monken emphasizing the elimination of pre-snap penalties.
There is a common thread, and that is that we're going to continue to stress it and use cadence in practice. And I've said this before, it's real easy to get frustrated, which I do. I'm the king of overreacting, okay? So, but if you do that, then you'll just go on one all the time, and that doesn't help you either. Mm. So where is that sweet spot? Now's the time to do that. We're practicing some other things in the throw game and the run game to obviously try like heck to be, you know, be on point when we play the first game, you know? But obviously we got a lot of work to do, but that's not the only thing. That's the only thing that's obvious to the naked eye, right? That, okay, we can see that, play stops, there's a yellow hanky, okay, that's not very good. Well, there's a lot of things we need to work at. That just happens to be one of them that will continue to fight our rear ends off to be elite at it.
So he said a lot there, and obviously penalties, this offense, one of the ways you can slow this offense down is if they slow themselves down.
Yeah, there have been times where it seems like this is sort of snowballed or infected them a little bit. And look, it happened last year, even when they had a five-man unit stay together as much as you could possibly hope for. And we've seen other years where some of these infractions were born of having to mash unit groups together or have guys audition in spots they're not totally comfortable with. We saw a lot of it, like, you know, at times when Ronnie Stanley's been out and other people have tried to fill in. But last year, that wasn't the case. It was a homogenous group. And they still had, I think, certainly more of these issues than they would care to stomach.
Let's follow up on that. Cut 29, Beltway Ben. 29, Monk was asked, what can lead to these pre-snap penalty issues?
There really isn't anything different other than we're starting back up again, and it's hot. And we got a number of guys going in the game. Sometimes it's the quarterback that, you know, takes a little bit of time at the line of scrimmage, you know, more than he should. And then all of a sudden you're making calls at the line and you may forget you're on a different cadence. You know, it's all of those things are a part of it. And, but I'm not going to give in. We're going to fight like heck to be good at, why can't we be elite at cadence? Why can't we? If other teams can, we sure as heck can be and should be.
So yeah, he's like, it's unacceptable.
You want to find a way to maximize every potential advantage you can get during the game and in these instances where you control when that ball is snapped and what you do prior to it and verbal cues and all these little nuances that can be further refined in ways to get the defense off kilter. Just listening to him talk yesterday, it sounds like this is a particular focus for them.
Oh, yeah. So let's finish. I would ask you when you want to hear one more from Monk, but I know the answer to that.
It's Monk.
Come on.
Listen to Monk say anything.
Yeah. So one more from Todd Monk. And how much better can the offense be in 2025?
We hit on every time I get up here, which is penalties. Okay. So I'm sure I'll be up here in a couple of weeks. We'll have the same thing again. But that's number one is lost yardage plays. That falls into that, right? Getting backed up. I mean, it's you're up against it when you have those. So obviously that's a huge emphasis off season. Obviously, starting fast, the season off fast. 2 years ago, we beat Houston, but we didn't play anywhere near a standard on offense. And last year, we didn't come out of the block. So starting faster, okay, how we prep for that, how we game plan for that. And then I think with every player, I think it's imperative amongst our players and our coaches to maintain that high level is we got to challenge each other. Because it's human nature, oh, whatever. As a player, an offense, human beings, to settle a little bit, we're going to be good. I don't know. 2025, we'll decide that. We have plenty of talent. Talent alone doesn't get you there. All the things that win are the work that you put in and then play at a high level when it counts.
Played four cuts. Three of them talked about penalties. He's focused.
I'd like to hear Monk sing Human Nature.
Oh, wow.
You mentioned human nature there, and then I immediately started thinking about
Michael Jackson.
Maybe a post-practice shower. Singing a little Human Nature.
Monk karaoke? I could listen to that.
I bet we could get AI.
Oh, that's
true.
Can
we get AI to have Monk sing Human Nature?
Well, Bone's probably on his way back. We can ask him.
That would be good if we do have to change the open to Monk.
Yeah.
And I hope we never do.
Uh-huh.
But if we do, AI Monk singing Human Nature would be good.
By the way, Bones should be on his way back soon.
You're in no position to speak for the Bones.
I just think they're
done. He didn't text us that, did he?
No, but they're already
Don't
talking.
Don't go rogue talking
They're already
about
talking.
The Bones.
He should be.
A lot could happen.
Yeah, that's true.
Between Owings Mills and here with the Bone behind the wheel.
That is very true. But coming up next, how much different will this Orioles roster look come Thursday? We'll ask former O's exec, MLB Network Radio's Jim Duquette joins us next.